Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the High Noon live show, No Laying Up live show, whatever you'd like to call it. Solly here, Saturday Players Recap. TC is here figuring out his camera like we didn't have time to do that beforehand. Hello, TC.
Don't sir me, Solly. Don't sir me.
Why do you say that, TC? Why do you?
I got the shirt on, baby.
We have new shirt. The quote right there, don't sir me. Do you want to shine any light on that for those that aren't familiar?
No. Okay. Nest members only. Only offering this to Nest members. Sirs and madams.
Brand new setup. Calling in from a hospital, it looks like, with the lighting, but we're going to make it work. Mr. Kevin Van Valkenburg. Hello, KVV.
So, yeah, I'm about 8 high noons deep. So, yeah, that's why I went to the hospital. But just soldiering on like Scotty, you know, heart and neck, just making it work.
You can bring the Fiesta anywhere you go with the all-new High Noon Tequila Seltzer Fiesta Pack. It is a variety 8-pack. It's got 2 new tequila flavors, Blood Orange and Prickly Pear, alongside 2 long-standing favorites, Grapefruit and Lime. They are made with real tequila, real juice, perfect for any fiesta under the sun. Find the all-new High Noon Tequila Seltzer. That's a tough one. That's a tongue twister right there. All-new High Noon Tequila Seltzer Fiesta Pack nearest you at highnoonspirits.com. That's right. If you are looking for a particular pack, they got all kinds of different offerings. You want to find out a store that has that exact offering. Highnoonspirits.com has got a great map feature. It tells me, hey, the Target and the Publix right near you have this, this, and this. It's very, very helpful. So thank you to High Noon for supporting all of our live shows throughout the course of the year. TC, we spent most of our Saturday out there today. You brought the kids out today. How was your day out there?
I did. It was good. Yo soy fiesta. brought the kids. It was Gustav's first golf tournament. They were watching Keith Mitchell there. I took Freddie to the media center. He wanted to see where I work. So I had him in there. And then we walked out. I think Alex and the kids saw you following Max. Alex was like, hey, Max. I don't think he was playing very well.
No, he had just missed a short putt. And I think Gustav and Alex got iced, unfortunately. I'm sorry to report that.
But these guys are, you know, they're proud partners of one another and hanging with the proud partners there of the players. Went out to 17. Zach Blair was playing with Sammy Valamaki, which they look like they could be brothers. Sammy and Zach, they're just on a different scale. Like, you know, Sammy's about twice as big as Zach is.
It was good. It was a situation.
Yeah, it was very, very nice day out there. It was hot. It kind of felt like May. The May experience versus the March experience. It was the May experience with overseed, basically. So
it always blows my mind how fast twosomes work. I mean, it today just flew by. I mean, I followed Scottie Scheffler's group for about 5 holes until I got kicked out from inside the ropes for reasons that are still unknown. And then tried to catch up with Wyndham's group, and by that time, you know, followed them for a few holes, and by that time it was time to get back and watch the back nine on TV and get ready to come on live. But not quite the same energy out there today as it had yesterday, it felt like. I'm not sure exactly why. The golf was okay. I think we gotta have a TPC Sawgrass conversation at some point, but we're gonna lead with, of course, Xander Schauffele shot a 7 under par 65 today. Guys, it's kind of blew my mind. He gained like less than 2/10 of a shot total in ball striking today and shot 7 under. He did absolutely everything from around the green. He was 6 of 6 scrambling, 4th and around the green, and 3rd in putting, gaining almost 3.5 shots on the green, made 138 feet of putts today. So, listen, as a Wyndham bettor, am I a little concerned about, you know, Xander, you know, coming in, carrying the lead coming into Sunday? Of course. But sustainability models, I have to call this into question. This was not a prodigious round of golf ball striking from Xander Schauffele.
Does it feel sustainable?
I don't know. I mean, we had a big Xander referendum tomorrow, as DJ called it in our Slack channel, of There's been a lot of things said about Xander taking a 54-hole lead in the Players. This feels like something he needs on his resume. Doesn't have a major title, obviously, and doesn't have a Players either. This would be a nice half step towards lifting one of the biggest trophies in golf. I think this is going to be people are going to remember this if he doesn't go on to win tomorrow. No, it's only a one-shot lead, but this feels like a spot he needs to close the door.
He hasn't made a bogey yet this week.
This whole week he hasn't?
That Correct. Can't be true.
That's not true. He made a double on 11 yesterday. So that's your technicality that you're going for here.
You dirty sneak. Like, why hasn't Xander been able to win more tournaments? You've been a Xander defender. Every time we shit on him,
I don't want him to win tomorrow.
Why hasn't he been able to close more? He's obviously a good player. Obviously, I don't know if I would say go great player, but why hasn't he been able to get it done?
It doesn't really make sense. Again, we pulled this up, I think, the last time we had this conversation to say, like, when he's in contention and, you know, after 54 holes, he actually plays better in the final round than his actual normal strokes gain level. Like, it's not like he has bad final rounds. He has won a lot of tournaments.
Big tone thing again here.
No, he was unlucky. I'm not saying he's unlucky. It's just to say, like, he's just been kind of normal. He hasn't closed the door, right? To win a lot of tournaments, you have to go out and do, you know, go kind of blow the field away, do some things. And he just kind of is always steady Xander and doesn't have those big peak weeks. He is like the standard of just a really, really freaking good, beats the field by two almost every week per round kind of guy and doesn't win a lot of these. But I don't know. It does always seem like around 14 or 15, every time he's in one of these spots, he's got like a 6-foot putt that he should make and it doesn't go in and he ends up losing by one or two. It is kind of a big tone syndrome. But I think his record's a little better than people give him credit for. At the same time, it's kind of time that he has one big win on his resume. I got live from continuing to play just in case Johnson Wagner pulls some shit tonight. I try not to put the TV on while we're on there. I don't want to get distracted, but I can't miss whatever Johnson Wagner gets up to tonight. What do you think it is? What do you think it's going to be tonight?
Well, I think he should go out and try to dunk Ben Silverman's wedge that he had to make this morning to make the cut. I don't know if you guys saw that, but PGA Tour tweeted that Ben Silverman went out and he had to basically make a shot onto 9 from 110 yards. And so for like an hour, he practiced like 110 yard shots and like they built it up to be like a thing. And then he hit it like maybe, you know, 5 yards right of the green, like into the deep rough. A lot of people were saying it was like a savage, like devastating tweet for the PGA Tour. I was like, no, that's kind of like fun content. Like, I don't care that. So I was volunteering on Twitter. I think Johnson Wagner should not be able to have Sunday tee times until Johnson Wagner dunks a wedge from 110 yards.
Johnson Wagner should try to throw a ball on the green from that tee box where Wyndham,
I was gonna say, I got an easier task for him to recreate Wyndham Clark's tee shot on 17 today because that ball traveled 102 yards when it needed to travel. I think 125 was the yardage to the pin today.
Have you ever seen a pro miss a wedge that badly? I can't remember like someone chunking a wedge quite like that.
Well, Molinari at Augusta, right?
That was, but that clipped the tree, right? His on 15 at Augusta. Yeah. I'm struggling to think of a
it was barely on TV. So yeah, it was barely on TV. So they kind of missed Molinari's like setup to that wedge. So we're never really sure what happened on that whole sequence.
That was in CBS's dark era.
I think we're burying the lead. I got two things to bring up. Is the blow pig nickname taking off?
It seems to be, TC. I don't want to give my friends too much credit for this because I think it's going to go to their heads, but I've been seeing a lot of blow pig talk all over Twitter today.
Which,
yeah, people were stopping me out of the tournament. They're saying, Mr. TC.
The blow pig is brilliant. Tell me more about the blow pig.
If people missed the blow pig nickname last night's show, can you fill them in, Kev?
Yeah, so yesterday, having lunch with friends, they were like, Kev, what's up with the blow pig? I'm hearing about this blow pig. I was like, you guys are crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, dude, just type in emojis for like wind ham, like wind and then pig for ham. That's a sweet nickname for Wyndham Clark. I was like, all right, let's run with it, man. Like, so I think coming up, DJ had this idea. We're going to try to come up with different emoji nicknames for various players going forward. So the blow pig is going to get us started on that track.
I don't know what to make of the blow pig at this moment. He has had some really, really weird moments in big spots. The shank at the 18th hole at the Ryder Cup comes to mind. Dead chunk in a pressure situation. Granted, on a Saturday, but the 53rd hole of the tournament. today, yet he's closed the door on several tournaments over the last year. I can't tell if it feels very Spieth-ian to me in that he is, has won a lot, but also has this flair for the dramatic in a lot of these spots, but stepped up after the chunk, hit a nice one in there tight, and rolled in the bogey putt. Big fist pump after that. You could tell that was a big one for him. He didn't have his best stuff today. Managed to still shoot 2 under par, which was barely better than field average today. Golf course was playing very, very easy today. But if you got to take someone between Xander and Wyndham going into tomorrow, first of all, do you think one of those two guys wins it? Obviously, we have Brian Harman just 2 shots back of Xander. Do you think the winner comes out of that final pairing tomorrow?
I think Harman wins.
It would be awesome. I would be pulling for Harman. I think that would be an unbelievably enjoyable victory. I'm going to stick with Wyndham. I said thought he was going to win yesterday. I think he's going to pull it off. Do you see? You're anti-Wyndham. I wanted you to like share what exactly you said. It's basically everything that's wrong with the modern game. I feel like you should reheat that take for the Saturday listeners.
Yeah, I feel like he's just a ball speed imposter. He's a thrower, not a pitcher. He's hitting that 340-yard. Aim 40 yards left and just open your hips and let it fire. Like, that's a skill. I just think that skill has become too valuable in relation to other skills. The whole putting routine is so off-putting. Like, it's really, really bad. Like, that should be outlawed.
Okay.
Like multiple facets of that should be outlawed, not just one part of the routine. There's like 3 egregious things in it. I don't know. I just don't feel anything when I watch him play golf. And that, I can't put my finger on it. I just don't feel anything. So,
sorry, I gotta throw up DJ's comment. Johnson Wagner, he's thrower and a pitcher. That's fantastic. But his iron play has really, really, really improved. It's hard to win the U.S. Open and be a ball speed imposter. TC, I think.
The ball doesn't spin anymore, and so he's just hitting that sendy.
This doesn't sound like his fault. This does not sound like his fault.
Drive on 16, TC, was a big dick drive. Started over the trees and basically say, I'm going to hammer the shit out of this. That was pretty cool.
He's a really, really, really good golfer. I have no issue with it. I'm just saying that it would bring me a lot more joy to have Brian Harman win.
Oh, sure. Harman. I would agree with that too. Harman's really fun to talk to, like one of the best personalities, I think, in the game today. So I would love it. It would make Brian Harman's resume all that much cooler, too.
It's so funny to me how golf fans seem to base roughly 90% what they think of a guy based on like his pre-shot routine and like his post-shot actions, right? Like the pre-shot putting routine is egregious. It's bad. There are multiple things wrong with it. A lot of things that look like they should just definitely be outlawed. And like people hate Cantlay for a variety of reasons, but one of them is his pre-shot shuffle. And if you're whiny after your shots, people just won't like you. Wyndham's guilty of both of those things. He's a total delight. A delightful person away from all that. I talked to him a little bit on Wednesday at dinner, and he just could not have been nicer. And it's a very different personality than the locked in guy between the ropes. But so much of whether or not people are going to root for you or not root for you is just based on those two things. It kind of goes for basketball too. Like if you're whiny, if you do like the LeBron flops and whine at refs, people are going to really hate that. But I feel like that's the thing that's working against Wyndham the most.
DJ and I had a
bring LeBron into this. Don't bring LeBron into this.
I was giving you like a layup in there. No pun intended.
Sully, I will say it doesn't help either that the broadcast seems to focus when they're lining up putts. They spend so much time. I think it's because they're trying to figure out the timing of the two, but we spend an awful lot of time watching Wyndham and his caddy line up putts.
Breaking news. Johnson Wagner is on the 17th tee as we speak. I do not have the audio on. I don't know what he's going to go for.
Are they going to let him hit the shot?
He's got a wedge. Looks like he's getting ready to hit the shot.
Oh, yeah. He's going to hit. You're looking at the chunk mark right now, guys. God, I wish I could throw this up on screen.
Well, what are the rights issues if we just steal the Golf Channel's feed and just direct it to our viewers?
I'm sure they wouldn't be happy.
Between this and the tour putting up the Antonio Banderas meme the other day, and there's all sorts of that Ricky video on Scratch today. That you sent over.
That was great.
So that was great, Cody.
If you
Tor's getting kind of cheeky.
T again, if you were not paying attention, sometimes it helps TC to narrate a couple of these things in case everyone does not spend all day on social media like we tend to do. Yeah. But Ricky gets the 16T and he's getting ready to hit a shot, and somebody's phone like clicks or something, taking a camera shot, and Ricky's caddy like says like, "Hey, turn your phone on silent, whatever." Ricky gets to the top of his swing. Somebody takes the photo again, and Ricky just soldier boys him, just you. Like, just points and yells at him right away. I've never seen Ricky react that way, but that was probably pretty darn frustrating.
And then what did the guy yell afterwards?
I don't know if he yell back?
He did something.
No, the guy was like, "You the man, Rick." Right after. He's great.
Johnson's going over the drop zone right now, and I'm not sure why. I don't know if I guess he's just talking
illegal
about...
drop, by the way. I don't know what's going on here. They need to get a roll of officials out there. Guys, how about our show, though? What else did you guys see out there today?
You know what? Something I saw yesterday. Out there yesterday, we're sitting on 4T. This guy's cell phone goes off three times, like three different calls. And what's Matt Fitzpatrick's caddy's name?
Billy Foster.
Billy Foster. He's like, he's bubbling over. He's bubbling over. Like, I almost had to go over and make a citizen's arrest on this guy. And the guy took the call. He just walked down the hill and took the call right behind the green. I was like, "Damn you people. The golf tournament. This is the gold standard."
We should do a segment sometime about caddies you'd least want to get like messed with. Like, Finau would obviously be up very high, but like, I don't think Harry Diamond would like scare too many people. So like a ranking of like caddies that you would most want to fuck with and not.
All right. We got the emojis. We got caddies you least want to fuck with.
We got Solly getting kicked out. We didn't even talk about that.
Solly, can you lend more?
All right. So I have a credential for a season, like for the entire season for the PGA Tour. It's why I'm so positive about the PGA Tour all the time. It's the only way I get to keep that credential. And it says like inside ropes, like you get full permission, like to walk inside the ropes. You have with the understanding that you stay close to the rope line, stay out of people's way, obviously, blah, blah, blah. And I've used it every single day at the Players that I've since I've had one of these and walk around and watch a lot of golf. And it really helps you cut through, you know, not have to battle the crowds, helps you see a lot of golf, helps you kind of report on things is kind of the point of it. And I'm sitting, I follow the first five holes of Scotty's round and I'm on the 16th and some security officer comes up to me and says, "Hey, do you have a credential for this?" I'm like, "Yeah, right here. It says inside ropes." He goes, "Yeah, that doesn't work. Come with me." And got walked out and somebody yelled at me what? He just like took me like it's on the rope line. I think somebody in the comments saw this. I believe somebody before we started the show was chiming in about this, but told me I needed to go get some lanyard, which I did not need to get. So I'd walk all the way back to the media center and get the lanyard. And they're like, "Yeah, that was a mistake. Sorry about that." And I was like, "Yeah," I tried to tell him, and he goes, "I'm not going to argue with you." I was like, "Oh, okay. I guess this is only happening to me. Everyone else that doesn't have the orange lanyard doesn't get this kind of treatment." But that was a bizarre little sequence today. And
you're a big journalist now. You've been told where to go and where you can't go. You're not an influencer anymore. Sorry,
I guess not.
But Solly, you should demand a formal apology, and then you know have like basically you should find him tomorrow and go up to him and be like, "Taste it."
That's what like it was unnecessarily rude. That was the part that bothered me. And they've done such a better job in recent years of like letting people do like go where they want to and do their jobs. And that was the part that was a bit shocking today. But
am I being detained?
I almost hit him with one of those. It's like what exactly happened here? This seems wildly personal.
I was at a place where I shouldn't have been at the British Open, didn't have one of those things, and a woman was just started cursing me out. "You know you're not supposed to go there. It's totally unacceptable." And Rory walked right by, and I looked at him like he was going to save me, and Rory was like, "Yeah, he's not supposed to be here." Just started laughing. I was like, "You fucker, you ice cream."
All right, what else we got? Our guy Sahith getting in the mix a little bit, T6, as he is wont to do these days. He is driving the golf ball well. He is not scrambling very well for whatever reason. His chipping has been not very good, but hitting his irons well and putting well. T6 had a nice 67 today, including a back nine 31. Not out of this turn. Is he should we do lingering and loitering right now? I mean,
I feel like that's good.
What would you classify what Sahith is doing right now?
Well, all right. Lingering and loitering or how far back is too far back? Which one?
We got to play Lingering or Loitering first. I think that will inform how far back is too far back, which if you're unfamiliar with the definitions, I just learned this, even though we've been doing this for years. But loitering means you're hanging around with bad intentions, like you're a threat tomorrow. And lingering is just like you're just kind of there. Like you're there, and it's not really going to matter. So,
All right, I'll get start then. I think Sahith definitely loitering, but Mav McNeely lingering.
That seems
What was that wedge that Mav hit on 16?
Mav was not exactly. I mean, Mav scored well, you know, chipped in on that one, but then he like putts off the green and putts in again. That was, I was like, well, this is a stitched together round. This is great. I like you. I hope you're, but I don't see that delivered coming home strong tomorrow.
No, he is, he is the definition of unsustainable right now, as much as I am a big Mav fan. I don't know if we're banking on a bunch of chip ins on Sunday, but, I think
that Mav gained 6 shots around the green, someone in the chat is saying.
Yes. He
like a lot
for the week. He has said today he was 4 point. He's 4.7 alone today around the greens because he holed out from like 40 yards on 14, chipped in on 15. And had a great chip coming in on 18 as well. But Sahith is T6 with Mr. Scott Scheffler. It looks like they are going to be paired together. That's going to be my ticket tomorrow. That's the group I'll be out following. Scotty did not look like he had his best stuff today. He kind of just looked a little meh, like a little slower with the swing speed. Obviously, battling the next.
Tell you, maybe it was this earlier. They were saying he was hitting 8 irons from like 140. Like
really?
He was just basically taking like 3-quarter swings and like did not want to aggravate it further. He was not going at the ball with 100%.
I watched him on 3, kind of just hit a little bit of a glancing blow that was just didn't look like the normal Scotty Scheffler and the deliverance at the ball, which is understanding if he's battling the neck injury that he is. So
Scotty wants to talk about hitting an 8-iron 140. I can talk about that all day. Like I don't help him with that.
We can play the game right here, TC. It's a very clear line of how far back is too far back. That's 8th place with Nate Lashley. He is too far back, and number one player in the world at 12 under, I would say, is not too far back.
I thought you were going to ask me, is Scotty hurt or injured to play that game? But
TC, you volunteer that up every single time a person has even a remote injury, and I still don't know what the difference is or why you ask this every single time.
We're just got to ask the question. Yeah, I think Nate Lashley's in an interesting spot. I think he's actually loitering, but he has no shot of winning the tournament, but he's loitering just because he's so hostile and he hates the pip so much. And he's like, I don't even know how Nate Lashley got into this event, much less is solo 8th right now.
If he gets up and like starts to get in some of these signature events, it could be a very wild change of opinion on what he thinks of the current structure of the PGA Tour, which would be, that would be entertaining, which there was also one of those going around today with Big Tech's Jimmy Walker, who I still don't know what his point was in the article. We'll probably unpack that on the show.
I don't think Jimmy knows what his point was.
On Sunday night, but a little bit of flippy-floppy going on. Want to give a shout out to another one of our partners, of course, that is Omni Hotels. They continue to take their golf to another level. They have 13 sought after golf destinations, 28 courses in all, from championship designs by our iconic architects like William Flynn, Gil Hance, and Bo Welling, to multiple short courses, putting courses, and interactive experiences. A huge unveiling from Gil Hance is actually right around the corner with the debut of Omni La Costa's Champions Course renovation, just in time to host the NCAA Women's and Men's Golf Championships in May. Not only will it be the first time the world will be seeing this course, but for the players as well. They'll be back in 25 and in 2026. They'll be open for public play in June. In addition to the golf course, the guest room suites and their world-class spa are also included in the multi-million-dollar renovation that wraps up in May at this iconic resort located in Carlsbad, California. This just adds to the list of tournaments and majors that Omni is hosting across their nationally ranked courses. No shortage of exciting golf programming, resort offerings, and distinctive accommodation options when it comes to Omni. Experience it for yourself. Book your next golf trip at omnihotels.com/golf. That's omnihotels.com/golf. Omni Golf. Play the possibilities.
A moment of joy for me today, just my own personal moment of joy segment, was watching Omni ambassador Cam Young hit like a dead-handed wedge into number 17, control the hell out of his spin. Like it didn't spin back at all. It took one hop and then just kind of snuggled up right next to the pin there. It was in this world of ball speed imposters and guys that little boys that can't control their spin. It was really refreshing to see that.
I have to pick a bone with this, right? I mean, we're waiting for Cam Young to win something, and you're calling him not a ball speed imposter, yet Wyndham Clark is racking up all these victories, including a major championship, and you're calling him a ball speed imposter. I need some definitions on these.
I'm just saying it was refreshing, you know, Mike. It was a shot. It was a micro moment in time where he showed me something, and I'm gonna call upon that next time he's in contention. And I'm going to say Cam Young showed me something on 17 at the Players.
That one time.
Okay.
You know what? Wyndham Clark showed me something today on 17. He showed me two things today on TC. One, that he's capable of hitting the worst imaginable shot and also capable of stepping up and hitting an onion shot with the third shot. Hated, you know, I take no joy in this, you know, but you had to try to call me out on this one in Slack today as well. But the collapse of Hogecoin was something that we could have seen coming. As you know, every meme coin has its day, TC, and I hated that Hoge had a massive score on the 18th hole to drop him off the leaderboard today.
Well, I have to push back there because you said that Hogecoin would drop down the leaderboard on Friday.
I just said
selling on him.
I'm just selling in general.
For Friday, not for the end of the day on Saturday.
Listen,
buy the dips. I'm ready to Hogecoin's going to ride tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah.
You buy or sell the philosophy behind the coin, all right? You don't try to time it perfectly, all right? In general, I knew that that stock was going down, and I have no regrets on that call. But Taylor Montgomery sneaking in the top 10 as well. Hideki, T9. JT Poston, T9. Pound for pound, the best golfer in the world. Doug Gim, what is up with Doug Gim at the Players? He's the one player that is a true horse for course for TPC Sawgrass.
It's crazy. He had a nasty up and down from the back of the 17th green today too. Showed me
up
something
up and down. He hold it.
Yeah. Tirico had a great call on that one too. Tirico's a stud. Like, he makes the event feel bigger.
He does.
Tirico's.
He's a trooper.
Site.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, big thing here is I followed a lot of Hideki so far this week. He's T9. I don't think I've seen Hideki like hit any good shots. And he's T9. Like, that's terrifying.
Makes sense.
He could be. He's very much loitering for Augusta.
Do you think it's possible he's hit good shots outside your window of viewing, or is it just really that you've seen all his shots?
He shot 69,
69, 68. He's sixth off the tee, ninth in approach. Okay. And 65th in putting.
I don't think I've seen him be satisfied with a single shot yet, though. Like,
that's different. If you know anything about Hideki, that's a total. His scale, of judging shots is very different than the rest of us. But it is maddening to watch him putt in person. I mean, that he just hovers the toe of the putter and he just stands there regripping it, and the stroke just looks. In 10 years, I can't believe that nothing has ever changed with his putting. Your boy Ludvig had a day today.
I just want to bring up real quick, we say the exact same thing every time your guy Tony Finau gets up there and putt, and I don't understand why these two cannot just fix something. It seems glaringly obvious that this is something they need to get their hands on. Well,
Tony changed it to make it worse. Like, that's the part I can't figure out. He made it worse this year, and his putting has been awful this year, but he put his toe up even more than he was doing before. I do not know what has happened there. I'm not going to ride for that. Don't try to play this like I'm giving some double standard here, because I do not ride for Big Tone's putting at the
moment.
No,
I'm saying one and the same. It's ridiculous.
I don't know. I guess going down this leaderboard, I just get a little bit sad because it's just there's not a lot of teeth out there with the way they've set the golf course up. And it's really frustrating.
I didn't want to start negative tonight, TC, but it was, you know, watching kind of Xander just sprayed all over the place today and just pretty easily get it up and down from every spot that, you know, he possibly, even when bogeys were somewhat entering the picture, it just was away right away, which is like, this is just not how this course is supposed to play. And it just, the part of the reason I really enjoy this course and like it is there is consequence for missing in the wrong spots, for hitting erroneous shots. Like, it usually leads to bogey in some way. I can't even count how many shots Xander got away with in just the last several holes. Drives it into the bunker on 15, that was no problem, getting that up and down. Drives into the pine straw on 18, easily gets that up. That was actually a really sick chip to that back pin on 18. But it just, the fact that they've gotten rid of this precision air system, not using it, and the greens are supposed to be this soft, all the chipping just becomes that much easier, and it becomes a bit of a chipping contest. And it's just 17 under leading through three rounds and a scoring average close to 70 today is just, that's just, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Do you guys think it's purposeful? I got two of the biggest sort of setup critics here in all of golf media. Do you think that this is a conscious decision by the tournament setup committee to make it softer, to make it not hard so they don't complain? Or do you think it's like the people are saying, look, we can't push the course to this level or whatever. We just don't, it's too wet, it's too rain, has hurt us. And this, I'm really curious because I don't know enough about setup stuff or Florida golf in general to sort of say one way or another, like, oh, it's purposely easy. They could make it harder. Do you think they could make this harder?
Yes. I mean, one thing they could easily do to make it harder is not cut down on some of the collars that are holding balls, you know, on the greens, basically. It hasn't rained in a week at this point, and the greens are, like, guys are still getting mud balls out there. Like, I talked to a few players that were getting mud balls today. It hasn't rained in a fucking week. And it's just, I don't know. It feels like it's in the high 70s, and it's not that windy. The winds the winds changed a few times. Like, it changed pretty much all directions yesterday. It was doing the same thing today. So there's definitely some, you know, but it's not like they have to worry about it getting up to 95 degrees and the greens completely burning out like that Saturday when Ken Duke, you know, put himself in the Hall of Fame. This is as benign as it can possibly be. Like, you have a license to do whatever you need to do to the golf course.
I would be surprised. Like,
the greens are fast. They're just not
abandoned the precision air though, like, because they didn't want to. I bet it's broken or something. And it's like, oh, this is going to cost $15 million to dig up and redo it. I got to think that they wouldn't just be like, yeah, we're good, man. We're not going to turn this on. Like, it's got to have some like structural problems with it for it just to
I be think my thing
walked
is,
away from.
You've got all these casual fans, right? All right. So Monahan talks in his presser on Tuesday about, you know, full swing and how the game's growing. And you got all these casual fans and all that. And then the flip side, ratings are down. You know, people are fed up or whatever. But you got all these casual fans out there on Saturday, both watching on TV and at the tournament. It's a concert atmosphere on 17. It's awesome. It's great. Yeah. And I tell you, 20% more balls in the water on 17 would equate to a heck of a lot more excitement. And those casual fans being like, there's a difference between an okay shot and a very good shot. And you have to hit a very good shot to get it anywhere close to that green on 17 or anywhere close to that pin on 17. And yeah, I don't know. I just think that would juice things up a little bit more. Like, the most exciting moment of the day was, you know, Wyndham chunking it in the water. And that's not a setup thing, but I don't know. I just setup equals product.
Sure. I'll push back a little bit though. I think it was really exciting for an hour in the stretch in the middle. And like, my 15-year-old daughter is downstairs, like, watching it. And she's like texting me like, dad, so like, everything's like crazy. Maverick Neely just chipped in, Sahi made an eagle. Like, she's not a diehard golf fan. She was sort of into it. So I don't think that there was no excitement today. That was entirely setup dependent.
It's not that there's no excitement. I just think there could be a lot more. I think there could be, you know, and recovery shots are supposed to be dynamic and are supposed to be, I don't know, it just feels like there's way too much, like there's not enough downside risk. I mean, they showed that stat on 16 of guys laying up versus guys going for it. Guys going for it, like, it's like, you know, 0.75 easier going for it, like, scoring average wise. And some of that's because, you know, it's a tough layup shot or whatever, but you know, it just feels like it's gone too far to, you know, bomb and gouge it up there and then figure it out kind of thing, because there's little, you know, there's little escape ramps and there's little off ramps to kind of save you.
Well, it just feels
wrong,
like,
on that, Sully?
Well, it just feels like there's almost no spot anybody hit it today. Like, for the whole day that I watched, it's like, oh, that's dead there. Just because you can kind of scramble from anywhere right now, which kind of defeats the purpose of so much of it. Just like, you keep like pulling all this back, and it's like, all right, overseed. You're going to have it in March, which means they have to overseed according to them because they want to look green on TV. I'm not saying they do have to, but they think they have to overseed, which is going to take a lot of fertilizer, a lot of water, all these things, and I just harder to get the overseeded greens to dry out. It certainly seems that way, especially if you don't have anything to suck out the moisture within them, right? Like they're just still so moist, muddy, and balls just backing up on it. So it's just, it's a whole like kind of have to play God. This has to be the greenest, weirdest place ever with grass. And it trickles down into the setup and the consequence of a lot of the golf shots. Look, a lot of people tune in just and want to see birdies and want to see close contests and don't really care about some of this stuff. But of course, our commentary on this has been well documented over the years to say like this course has that capabilities. It's a bit wind dependent. Like if they'd have gotten more steady wind, I think the greens would have dried out. Brian Harman had a really interesting comment on the happy hour yesterday. He said that they kept getting an east wind, which is bringing in the sea breeze, which is what's, you know, keeping moisture on the greens. But if you get a west wind, that's what's going to dry stuff out. I've lived here 6 years, never thought about that, but I thought that was an interesting note on how it all plays out. But
it hasn't been a humid, wet east wind at all though. Like
today was humid.
Push back on that. I mean, today was just hot and sticky and humid, but like there's just not that much grass on the greens either. I think that's the thing. It seems like there's this weird layer of mud. And you know, whereas like I went out to my club yesterday afternoon and played, greens were absolute lightning and they were crazy firm and they don't overseed. And it's like, man, like what a delightful surface to play off of right now. Kind of the semi-dormant, you know, grass is really starting to grow though, and that's on Bermuda, and the rye is just so boring.
I'll give you guys this: it could get to 20 under tomorrow pretty easily. I think, you know, three under. That's it's only ever been 20 under once before, 1994. Greg Norman shot 24 under.
Blew up the course after that. Yeah,
yeah, and so it's. It's Scotty won last year at 17 under. But prior to that, Tim Clark at 16 under, Davis Love at 17 under. So, I mean, that does lend some credence to like, hey, maybe it should be a little harder. Like, I don't really want us flirting with 20 under every year here.
I just don't get why. And again, I'm not an agronomist. I don't get why you need to overseed the greens. Like, just let the Bermuda greens play out. I get wanting to have green grass everywhere else, not having divots and whatnot. But it just seems like an unnecessary complication with the greens. But it's hard. Like,
I'll say one reason why, Sully. So they when do they shut down this course from public play in order to like final prep for the tournament?
Like 3 weeks,
like mid to late February.
Yeah.
Okay. So if they didn't oversee the greens, the putting surfaces, there'd be no way that they could have them putting like and have normal rolling tournament conditions for them, because there would be no growing. I mean, the Bermuda is dormant, so you would just roll them and roll them and roll them. And that's why they overseed the greens. Now, it takes a ton of water to keep this, to keep it green. And I think
they drop six times more seed per
yard. Yeah, they focus on aesthetics than overall playability because of the overseed process. And that's just the way it is. You guys could have not had that rain, you know, whatever it was last Saturday, and it wouldn't have rained in the last month. It doesn't matter because there's still water in it to keep it. Yeah. They got to keep it popping.
It's hard. Like there's so like you drive home down Solana Road just outside of TPC, and like there is still just building up on the side of the roads water that has not drained. Like there is still just so much water from this one of the worst winters, second worst winter since I've been here in terms of wetness and water. Like it just has not. I don't know. It's
not seeing that.
Drive down Solana. It's just like literally piled up on the side of the road. Like it's there. It's just. It's not great, but
all right. Well, it is what it is. TC, is Ludwig have a chance tomorrow?
I mean, he's what, eight back?
He's nine. Yeah. So
yeah,
that's too far back.
I think that's too far back. I mean, he would have to go out and shoot 62.
Yeah, that's tough.
Which, you know, then you'd have to put an asterisk on that. It would tie Hoagie for the course record, but you have to put an asterisk on it because Gooch isn't in the field and the conditions are really easy.
Thank you.
So no, I think that's too far back. Like, does Scotty have a chance tomorrow? Five
for
back.
Sure. For sure.
I think Scotty's got it.
At the real stout, what does Scotty have to shoot to go take it? And why is Xander going to shoot 73 tomorrow?
I mean, Xander's probably going to shoot 73. So I got, it's like, I got to see it before it happens. I cannot, I love Xander's swing. I really do. And I just don't know why he isn't better. And I know that, like, you tell me, oh, his scoring average is better than the field, whatever. Yeah. But also, like, you got to go out and win. So, like, I'm only going to believe in my dude until he actually does it, when he actually does it.
So, yeah, in his, let's see. It's funny if you pull up Scotty's, Scotty actually has a much, much worse fourth round when in contention ranking than Xander does, which he just is there so freaking often that he's matched Xander's career win total. But going all the way back in his career, when he started the final round, he started the final round in somewhere between first and fifth. He started there 35 times. And he has gained two shots on the field in that as an average over those 35 times, which is, Data Golf says, 0.3 shots better than expected, as in what he's expected to produce in those rounds. So he's expected to win six times, with his percentage chances going into the final round, and he's won seven. So he's just kind of just right in line for you know what would be expected for him, considering how often he's put himself in contention. I don't know how else to shake it out. Maybe it does feel different. I'm with you. I just can't like back it up with numbers to say that it's validated or that he's, you know, a choke artist or anything like that. It just doesn't
who would it do more?
Which one's not? Yeah.
Who would it do more for, Brian Harman or Xander winning tomorrow for their kind of rep?
I think Brian Harman. Brian Harman's older.
Okay.
I think it would give him, you know, he's got the British Open win. It would give him another, like.
It would put Brian Harman on the doorstep to the Hall of Fame, which is kind of crazy. Yeah. Like, it's two majors in a, I don't remember how it works exactly now, but two majors in a players, I think, gets you in almost automatically. Yeah. Or no one that's ever won both or all three of those hasn't ever got in. But he is such a dog. I really enjoyed it. He was in contention, if you remember, at this tournament. I forget what year it was. And he stepped up to 17 and just like risked. There's, you know, before this big explosion in cash, he bet it all. He bet everything he had on getting after that right pin on the 17th green, stuffed it in there. I think he made the birdie putt as well. But I just remember thinking, like, dude, that guy didn't care one bit about, like, you know, isolating second place. He like absolutely went for it in that moment. So I'm expecting the same thing from him tomorrow. I mean, he shot even par in round one and has shot himself up the leaderboard with two incredible rounds, rounds two and three, and he could easily win this thing tomorrow.
Good round from Sam Burns today, 65, kind of finished with a whimper there down the stretch. Adam Schenck continues to play some good golf. I want to shout out Joel Damon. Came in 171st in the FedEx Cup, shot 74 in the first round. He's 67 the last 2 days. Absolutely stunting on people, actually, to the point where I went to go get a Joel's Juicy Lie today. That's his whiskey. That's his Scotch whiskey, or not Scotch whiskey, Irish whiskey, and pineapple and grapefruit drink. And they were out of both pineapple and grapefruit out there because so many people were ordering Joel's Juicy Lie. So just shout out there. And
he's lost some weight too. Like, he looks like he's down 20 pounds. I watched him tee off on one today, and like, it is kind of wild to see the fans, how they treat Gino and Joel now. Like, Gino walks up to the tee and like Gino got like an ovation when he got there, and there's women in the crowd yelling Gino. And, it is, I don't think I really have seen that in person since the Netflix stuff, has happened.
Austin Eckroat, playing some golf. He's T17 right now, 71, 69, 68. I had a funny story from today. We're just walking in from, Freddie wanted to go to the pro shop, get the big chain.
Damn it, TC. I wanted to surprise. I wanted to pull a surprise with this.
I put both your chains on.
I spent like $70 on these chains.
This is the sign of the top of the economy. This is like the NFTs, because these things were $40 and I bought one strictly to wear on the live show and then to give to Freddie afterward. But I did not know you bought one as well.
Two chains in the house.
Yeah.
God.
Like, we're walking.
awful.
Oh, Freddie and Gustav have like four of them from the Jags games too. They got them in every color: gold, black, teal. So yeah. Anyway, the we're walking down 17. Peter Malnati hits one super close, and everybody goes nuts. Gustav goes, "Dada, are we winning the game? Like a football game or something?"
And Peter Malnati is winning Malnati, the game.
I was like, "Hey, man." Gustav, that's a really complicated question. We're not winning the game. He's one of the player directors, and he's taught, you know,
he's struggling. Yeah. And, funny interview with Peter today, like after you know his round. Shot 66. We should point that out. Peter was golfing his ball out there today, his yellow golf ball. But
he's
then
not on sponsor exemption this week.
Afterwards, they're talking a lot about everything, and then one of the one of the media people was like talking about team golf and said, Peter's kind of laughed at it and he said, "Oh, you're not a fan of the cliques." And then another reporter was explaining, it's important part of the revenues, you know, thing for Liv.
It was TC.
Actually sell these teams. Yeah, it was TC.
Yeah, lay off my cliques, okay?
And Peter very straight, deadpan was like, "Oh, so it's like the Commanders and like the Steelers, like that is that the equivalent of what these teams are?" That was like such a great like summary of how like ridiculous is the idea that these Liv teams are worth $1 billion, you know, that this not quite the same valuation, I think. Here. So Peter, shout out to Peter for that.
Billion.
Is Peter going to be involved in TGL?
Probably. No, that was also a part of that too. I'm going to break up that video because there's a ton of other things that he touched on. He kind of mentioned, he's like, "Oh, so this team golf, that's kind of like what we have, the TGL thing. Is that like what they're doing? So the team golf's just going to be played inside in a dome. That's cool. I guess we can do that in the fall." But I'll break up that press conference and we can, there's a lot of other things that he kind of mentioned on with, the potential Waterman meeting and everything like that on Monday. TC, you're going down the leaderboard there, doing a pretty good job. Yeah. You mentioned Adam Shank. You said that he continues his good play. I'm questioning where you're pulling that that fastball from. He has like three missed cuts this year. His best finish is a T17. Just wondering if you can expand upon that take real quick for me.
Yeah, I happily. Adam's made $401,000 this year. Yeah, he finished T17 at the Phoenix Open, T25 at the Farmers.
Need I say more?
He's clearly flushing it. Both Adam and his wife are both electrons as well. So I got a special place.
There it is. There we go. There it is. That's what we need. Okay. Thank you for that. I bet he wins. I bet Shank wins next week. Like he always plays well. I feel like he always plays well at Valspar. And I don't know. I'm gonna have a wager on Adam Shank next week. I think that's tradition. Sick. Rory, we haven't mentioned him today. Kind of a ho-hum 3-under par round today. I caught a little bit of the beginning of that one, but not a whole lot to write home about on that one.
He tried to exonerate him. There was some additional information that's come to light, some evidence.
Exonerate him. I tried to exonerate myself.
Further prosecute him.
I got yelled at for like, "There's no way a ball could land below that line." And I took a picture today of what it looks like from the tee of how much space there is below that red line. I don't know if we need to relitigate that.
Nobody loves a rules controversy more than you. I love it. I genuinely appreciate how much you love the rules.
I don't even like know them that well. Is
loves
the thing.
The rules and the mules.
I find myself in these rules controversies that I do not ask for, but yeah, thankfully nothing crazy has happened over the last couple of days. But I bet where did it cross Twitter will come back. I thought we were going to get it a little bit today with Wyndham. First of all, they're showing Wyndham shot on 12. He pulled it immediately into the water, left, easily made par. Don't worry, TC. He got a big punishment for that miss.
Brilliant hole.
And they're looking at the view from a plane trying to figure out where it crossed. And I'm like, "Guys, that is, we have no idea what angle that plane is coming in from. There's no possible way." And they're like, "I think it's got to be right in front of the markers or the bulkhead." And it was almost like they were critiquing where he dropped it. And then they're like, he's in exactly the right spot. He's in the right spot. It was like, oh, thank God. We do not need to create an internet controversy on this one.
Spieth exonerated Rory a little bit today. He said in his interview that he thought Rory's drop was fine. So just so we're clear.
He said very different things in the fairway yesterday that were picked up on the microphones. I'm not reporting that. That was a very much.
He said, "You."
I think he sees the no-win situation of continuing any farther down there, as do I. So,
guys, I think we got to address Nick Taylor. He got fucking blown out to sea today. I think the Canadians need to apologize.
I was going
to
say, I would just leave that to the Canadians. They say we don't talk about the Canadians enough. I'd like to hear from them for apologies for when their player gets vaporized. What did he shoot today?
76.
Oh, God. Corey Connor shot 73 today as well on a very benign day to fall back to T24. That's
Mackenzie Hughes shot 69. He's T44 right now. Three Canadians.
I feel a little bit bad that we're like just grouping the Canadians in general. How often do we like be like, oh, the Swedes are terrible. The Swedes should apologize.
Well, the Swedes don't yell at us.
I mean, Solly attacked Norrin for years.
Norrin's playing fine. Ludvig's playing fine. Don't worry about it.
TC, guess
Canadians are passive aggressive. I don't know that they yell at us. They just make
no. They yell.
Comments.
They get very upset. TC, only player that shook my hand on the first tee today. Guess who it was?
Peter Molnar.
Alex Norrin. All right, we're great friends. Oh, yeah. He agrees with my takes on the OWGR. We've long buried the hatchet and we get along great. He's a delightful fellow.
If you really want to piss some people off, Solly, can we talk about who is the low Irishman from today? You want to talk about Shame and Seamus?
Ooh, he got ejected.
Oh, I thought you were talking piss people off, like, you know, reclassifying Rory as Irish, like that.
No. I don't want to touch that one.
Go there.
That's a Parmy thing for me for the Australians.
Well, I do think we got to give a shout out to our guy Max for the nine he made on 14 today, while still shooting 74. Like, I'm extremely impressed by that. Seamus Power is holding down the dead last spot as of now.
Who's the marker? Is there a marker out there? Or is he just playing by himself?
Is there an odd number of players?
There's an odd number of players.
That's a good question.
Seamus Power. Andrew Waterman is out there. Solo off one tomorrow at 7:35.
Got it. David Lipsky was off solo at 8:25 this morning. The second tee time is at 8:30. I've never seen 5 minute tee time apart, but I guess when you got a solo in front, you send him off as fast as you possibly can. I will say this. I've further thought, we talked before going into the week, like, does 144 players make sense for this tournament? I think I'd like to revise. I was kind of like, okay with that. I'm going to revise it down to 100, and I'll tell you exactly why. I think everyone should play this course in order, and I think the 18th hole should be your last hole today. I don't think anybody should ever start on the back nine. Like, you need to come to 16, 17, 18 and play that in sequence. I truly think that this course of any course should be that everyone goes off the front nine. I think there's enough daylight to do it. You could play threesomes for the first couple of days. And that's just something I thought about. Getting 17 early in the morning with soft green, soft greens or whatever, versus most people having to play it later in the day. I think that there should only be guys teeing off the first hole at TPC Sawgrass.
I like that. I hate when they can't finish because of darkness.
Oh, it's insane.
Last year was brutal. This year was a little better, but I'm in on that take.
Jimmy Walker's going to be pissed.
Is he? Because he kind of flip-flopped on both of these things.
He wants less events, but more playing.
What did he say about Wyndham Clark there? Like, how dare he start barking or something? something like that.
I think we're saving the Jimmy Walker takes for tomorrow. We're focusing on the
last I checked, Jimmy, you and Wyndham have the same amount of majors. Actually, I think Wyndham's got more.
Wyndham's in the Corona green screen, unlike Jimmy Walker, as far as I'm concerned.
Anything else we got before we wrap and look to tomorrow? I hope we get some fireworks tomorrow. I don't know. Today felt just a little lacking in the juice compared to the first couple days. I don't know why exactly. It just didn't feel like a ton happened there until Wyndham put it in the water. There was nothing that really made Twitter pop off today.
Let's get off Twitter, Solly. It was pretty fun in the lab for an hour there. I think I'm going to keep pushing back on that. I had an exciting stretch there. You know, DJ had a good take personally the other day. He was like, you know what? Tried like watching an entire like back nine without any Twitter. Your life, just like lock into the golf so that you're like not like looking down at your phone every few minutes. I think that's a pretty good. I'm gonna,
yeah, it's lock tough, into that tough, tough ask of me that's in charge of literally the no laying up Twitter account. That's a tough ask.
You're given a pass on that, but I think I'm gonna go lean into that more often because sometimes I can be buried a little bit too much in like who's saying funny shit, or whatever, and actually miss the joy of golf. And I want to say one more thing. Yeah. My kid played in a no laying up roost today. She finished fourth And I was like horrible, but she kicked ass, and I was really excited about that. So I just wanted to show that shout out to her.
Congratulations to
good
her.
Good for her. Oh yeah.
Solly, who's going to win tomorrow?
I'm sticking with my Wyndham bet. Do I feel it in my core? Not great right now. I'm hoping that was the one bad round we needed to survive. You know, the sustainability models should have pointed this out last night. I was blinded by the dollar signs I was seeing in the hopes that he would win as a 50-to-1 ticket. You know, he came back a little bit to earth today and, you know, about kind of the same kind of ball striking he's had to this. It was worse today with ball striking, but I hope it's Wyndham. It's going to be an interesting situation tomorrow. The whole Xander thing, Wyndham, is he a true killer kind of in this situation? TC, I think he upgrades the killer with three signature wins and a major within a 12-month period.
I think that's a certified dog. Killer is a whole nother level, man.
So there's no killers.
Killers don't chunk it into like the middle of the fucking lake.
Wild dogs might, though. Maybe like an unleashed dog.
Exactly.
Are there any killers then? You. Are there just no killers?
I mean, Tiger.
Well,
I think Scotty at this point's a killer. Like, I think he's kind of certified.
Scotty hasn't won a major in the last 12 months, like Wyndham has.
Rom's a killer. Sorry, he is.
Rom's a killer.
Rom's got a whole legion of killers.
Okay, TC, who's going to win tomorrow?
Brian Harman.
KVV.
Wyndham.
All right. I think that's it. Sorry,
the bull pick.
I must say, I thought I had $10 on Brian Harman all week as another bet, and I like saw him rising up the board the whole day. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good backup play here. Check my slip. Don't have one. Did not put one in. Didn't hit submit on it. I was so upset because that would have been a good one. He was pretty far down the odds sheet, but it's unfortunate. Anyways, we look forward to a fun Sunday here at the Players. TC, you going out tomorrow?
I am. I think I'm going to go out tomorrow, kind of watch some guys warm up a little bit, walk the front nine a bit. Who are you going to follow tomorrow? You're doing Scotty?
That one was kind of jumping off the page of two guys I really like to watch play golf, him and Sahith. I'm assuming that's the pairings tomorrow. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. Sahith and Bits are playing tomorrow, and Scotty is playing with Nate Lashley.
How did that happen? They were both... I never figure out how the tee times work. They're both tied for six. Oh, so 1/6 and 1/7. I see. So I messed that up. I mean, I don't know. I really do think the winner probably comes out of that last group. So I'll probably watch that one for the front nine, head home and watch the end, and we'll be back here to do the live show on Sunday night. So
bring your ropes pass on.
I will bring that and the lanyard to make sure I don't get
fired. You should put your credential on the chain.
I thought about that. I'm just going to wear this. I'm not even going to bring the credential tomorrow. I'm just going to wear this and see if I can walk around tomorrow. So thank you, as always, to High Noon. Thank you to Omni. Thank you to Cody running the ones and twos, KVV, TC. We look forward to an exciting finish to our local tournament here, and we'll see everyone back here tomorrow. Crack on.
Don't sir me.